again, that which was good became a source of idolatry. And the law of God was replaced by the laws of men. But the Lord Jesus, he comes in a wonderful way here in Luke 5. If you look in Luke 5, we see a passage that spans from Luke 5 into Luke 6. And it's really the Lord addressing the Pharisees out of his love and his concern. And it begins this way in Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day, Luke 5:17, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. To heal who? To heal the sick? Well, that's not what's said here. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who's mentioned as the subject of this verse? The Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Now, in some more modern translations, I'm reading out of the NKJV, it also reads this way in the New Translation. In some other translations, you'll find that it sounds different. According to what I find in Luke, it seems to me this is the thought here. Because what we find from this point onward is event after event after event where the Lord is pleading and he is working and he is dealing patiently with these religious men. The power of the Lord was present to heal them because they had given up what was true for their own convenience. And that is the danger for us. By the truth and sell it not. We've been given a beloved. And here in these portions, he presents himself again and again. Take a look at it. Verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him, to lay before the Lord Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. You're familiar with this story. They're bringing their paralyzed friend. They can't find the way in. So they take the steps up to the top roof. This was, in some ways, the patio of ancient times. They bring him up to the top roof, they break through the roof, and they send him down. They lower him down right in front of Jesus. Verse 20, when he, that is the Lord Jesus, saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? We must understand that he's not saying, hey, you've done something against me, but I forgive you. He's saying, I forgive you for all your sins. This is something that none of us could ever do. We could not forgive a person for all the sins they have committed, because not all of their sins have been committed to us, against us. But the Lord Jesus presents himself as the forgiver of sins. And he says here, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Here, this is a rhetorical question. And he points out here that the healing of a man is an easier work than the forgiving of his sins. And he says, but that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, or authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he was lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Here the Lord Jesus presents himself as to them. I am he. I am that one who has authority to forgive sins. The Lord Jesus brings real forgiveness of sins. He is the one who brings true atonement for sins. Why must we hold on to this? Because the world provides an alternative. The world provides an alternative to everything that that God would have to offer. It's a counterfeit. And so if there is a justification provided by God, if there's a means by which a person may be declared righteous by God and his sins be done away with, no longer to be brought into thought again or to be dwelt upon, there is in this world those ways where the devil will seek to say, this is how you will be shown righteous. This is the means by which you will be credited. For these men, it was the law. It was their obedience to the law, which was not God's law. It was one of their own editing and tampering and manipulation. The world has its way. What is the means by which we are able to assure ourselves that we are genuinely declared righteous? Do we look to others to do that? Are we looking for them to give us the affirmation? You know, it's so interesting. In California, we're the sorry state for us. So sorry. And I think it was dear brother Dale. Someone gave us Dale. There may have been two or three people yesterday. Why are you saying sorry? Oh, why am I saying sorry? The reality is that there's this sense of the need to justify ourselves. When, why would we justify ourselves if we're already justified? Why would we explain ourselves when God has already done the work? There's no confidence and no power in that. If God declares us righteous, he's going to be righteous. And it doesn't mean we go out and claim any glory to ourselves, but it certainly means that the believer has no cause to complain. That everything has to be joyful. But the world has its own form of manipulation where it takes God's cause and seeks to point at the believer and say, you, Elijah, you are the troubler of Israel. Shame on you. But the believer must stand on what Christ has done to be able to say, I'm not the troubler of Israel, but you. You have caused this. You, your household, which now causes all of Israel to worship him, the world will seek to rob us of this sense of the reality of our being completely and totally forgiven, but God has supplied it. And the Lord Jesus says to these men, I am the forgiver of sins. Come. Come. Don't take false atonement. Don't settle for false justification. You've trusted in true justification. You're saved in true justification. Walk in that. But then something further takes place. We find in these verses that follow that he goes and he finds a tax collector named Levi. We also know him as Matthew from other gospel accounts. And we find that Levi invites the Lord Jesus into a great feast of tax collectors and other various ones who would have been despised by the Pharisees. And so we find in verse 30, and the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. Those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so the Lord Jesus presents another reality here. He says that he is not only the forgiver of sins, he not only has the power to forgive sins, but he has the power to cleanse them. The doctor cleanses sins. He can provide the full cleansing of sin. Whereas these men have their seven steps, they have their program, they have their various how-to books, and they went to this wisdom and they were able to check off their checklist and their agenda, and their outlook books looked beautiful. They had control of their lives. Or was it that their lives had control of them? They were slaves that did not know it. They looked wonderful on the outside, but inside their covetous, ravenous wolves. the Lord Jesus says, I am the one who can truly